So the title of the message this morning is, Did God Make a Mistake? During different times in our lives, we pass through difficult events, sicknesses, and trials, and we may wonder, what's happening? Something's wrong. I'm sure we have all felt like this at one time or another. Why is God allowing this to occur? Anybody ever asked that question? I did more than once. And we say that God doesn't make mistakes, but think and act as if he did. Knowing actions speak louder than words. No, we say with our mouth, God never makes mistakes. And when you're going through a trial, you act like he did. I did. This morning we are going to speak about some events in the Bible where circumstances could have caused someone to think that the Lord did something wrong. But the final outcome showed that he did not make a mistake. If you could turn with me to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin at verse 10. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin at verse 10 and then skip around a bit. I'll give you a moment to get there. Those online, Exodus 14, and beginning at verse 10. Verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you are silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh and through his chariots and through his horsemen. Verse 21. We're going to be 21 to 27. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. And at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve. And he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and over their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Now, verse 11, the Israelites said, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? The people of Israel must have thought that Moses or the Lord had made a mistake. They said, were there no graves in Egypt? Now, I have to realize the geography of the land, what was going on. They're fleeing from the Egyptians, and they have mountains. If you look up the geography of this area, there's mountains on either side of them, the Egyptians behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them. Where were they going to go? There's no way out. And they had to figure, we were led down the wrong path. We're going to die over here. But as we know, God didn't make a mistake in leading the Israelites to the Red Sea. Now, he could have led them through the land of the Philistines, but knew that they would have feared war and would have turned back. Instead, he miraculously opened the Red Sea so that the people could pass through. Now, if the Israelites had taken the land route, the Egyptian army would not have perished in the sea. See, God knows what he's doing. God never makes a mistake. He knows exactly what he is doing and the reasons behind his decisions, his actions. There are no errors in his thoughts or judgments. Even though we may act like there are errors in his judgments when we're going through trials, he can and will open the Red Sea in our lives if necessary. And I want to read something, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which is a nice verse to remember. At this time, you don't have to turn to it, I can read it to you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Which says, now once to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. He could do exceedingly abundantly above what we are praying about and what we're even thinking about. That's the God who we serve. Now I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 38, and we're going to read another very interesting person over here, an interesting thing that God did. Isaiah chapter 38, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Give you a moment to get there. Isaiah 38 and verses 1 to 8. In those days, Hezekiah was the king of Judah at this point. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. This shall be a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ahaz, to go back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway on which it had gone down. Interesting point. If you read In Chinese literature, there's a story of one day having two sunrises. This was probably the day that it occurred. Proof of God's word that never fails. The Lord's plan for King Hezekiah of Judah was to end his life on earth. The king became very upset, prayed to the Lord, and God allowed him to live another 15 years. But what happened during those 15 years? During those 15 years, King Hezekiah showed his treasures to the son of the king of Babylon. Years later, when Babylon invaded Judah, all those treasures were taken. They knew exactly where to go because Hezekiah showed the son of the former king where all the treasures were. And also, during that time, Hezekiah had a son whose name was Manasseh, who became a king in Judah and was one of the most wicked kings that Judah ever had. It would have been better if Hezekiah's life had ended when the Lord wanted it to end. It just shows us that there are no errors in God's judgment. Hezekiah was better dying when God said than to have the extension of 15 years. There's no errors in God's judgments. He never makes a mistake. And Psalm 37, verse 23 reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Never makes a mistake. Let's turn to the New Testament, John chapter 11, and we're going to read a familiar portion about Lazarus. John chapter 11. We'll be starting with verse 1, yes. Those online, John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1 to 6. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" As we know, Jesus stood where he was and Lazarus died. I don't have to read the rest. You know what it is. And Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So he stood 2 days longer. Someone tells you someone's very sick and needs you to heal them, Jesus, and they stay there 2 days longer. If he loved them, why would he stay 2 days longer? Disciples must have been questioning. In our times of trial, we may think, "God, if you love me, why are you allowing this to happen?" There's infinite wisdom and love in all his judgments. God makes no mistakes. And I feel to tell you this morning, Jordan, I know you've had many surgeries. God didn't make a mistake, and the way he carried Lazarus through, he's going to carry you through. He makes no mistakes, Jordan. He's going to be with you, and we're going to pray you through. But sometimes we question, "God, if you love me, why are you allowing this to happen?" There is infinite wisdom and love in all his judgments. God makes no mistakes. When Jesus met Martha and Mary, what was their response? Well, in verses 21 and 32, what did they say to Jesus? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Maybe someone thought that Jesus made a mistake in delaying. No, he didn't. They probably thought, it's too late now. Lazarus is dead. With the Lord, it's never too late. I remember my mother telling me this. With the Lord, it's never too late. He always arrives on time. See, his calendar doesn't work like ours does. We turn from month to month or whatever calendar you have, week to week, day to day. God doesn't have the same calendar that we have. But I'll guarantee you, he always arrives on time. Jesus had something greater in mind. He wouldn't just be healing Lazarus. He was going to raise him from the dead after 4 days being dead. There are no errors in the Lord's plans or actions. And just think of it. When you see emergency medical services technicians, they give CPR, or the defibrillator, the AED, and they say after 4 to 6 minutes, Eli's probably aware of this, they said don't keep doing it because the person will come back with brain damage. Lazarus was dead 4 days. Now, I guarantee you, because Jesus touched him, he didn't come back with brain damage. But think, he was dead 4 days, but Jesus didn't make any mistake in delaying. He knew, I'm not going to just heal him, I'm going to raise him from the dead. God makes no mistakes. That's why Jesus delayed. He would do something greater. A person may say, I know that God doesn't make mistakes, but during times of trial, we act, I've done it, act as if he did. We may even cry to the Lord and say, why are you allowing these events in my life? Don't you know how much I'm hurting? Look up to heaven and say, God, don't you know I'm hurting? But a mistake didn't occur in your life. Can an almighty, all-wise God make a mistake? Don't think so. Let's read Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Give you a moment to get there because I want you to read through it with me. Those online, Romans chapter 11, and verses 33 to 36. I love this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. When you're going through major trials or illnesses, remember that there are no errors in God's judgments. I tell you, this is what carried me through the cancer and the bypass surgery. I knew that God didn't make a mistake in allowing it. A friend of mine, Dylan Oates' grandson, Joe Bellata, his father lost two grandchildren. One was a year old, the other grandchild was in the teens, got hit by a car. And my mother had called to try to console him. And he said to my mother, he was grieving, but he said to my mother, God makes no mistakes. And that's what carried him. Imagine losing a one-year-old grandson plus a granddaughter who got hit by a car in Italy, and you say, God makes no mistake. But that's how well he knew God. That's why a lot of times I've emphasized from the altar, how well do you know him? It means so much. When you are going through major trials and illnesses, remember that there are no errors in God's judgment. When things seem to go wrong or not as expected, know that the Lord didn't steer us in the wrong direction. He knows the path of life that we should be taking. He sees the end from the beginning. God knew our path of life before we were born. He didn't just decide on it the day we were born, look down and say, well, I think you can do this in life and I have this plan for you. He knew before conception your path of life. Think of it. Through the angel Gabriel, the Lord spoke to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and prophesied about the life of John before conception. Read that in Luke chapter 1. The same angel prophesied about the birth of Jesus to Mary before conception. We may question the judgments and reasoning of God, but need to remember that, number one, He's the wisdom of the ages. He's a fountain of wisdom. He is the only wise God, as Paul referred to Him. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, the prophet said, God's understanding is unsearchable. In other words, no one can comprehend the wisdom of God. One day we may know and understand why the Lord led us down the path that we thought was wrong. We may even thank God for leading us down the path that we thought was inappropriate. I wound up doing that. And there's a hymn, sometime we'll understand. Some of the lines go, God knows the way, He holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, there, up there, we'll understand. I wanted to read something. I have a little more time here. I'm at the end of the message, but I do want to conclude speaking briefly about the greatness of God. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to start and read verses 12 to 18, and we'll skip around a bit, not to be too long. Isaiah chapter 40, talk about the greatness of God and how we can't make a mistake. Verses 12 to 18. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in the balance, and the hills in the pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has informed Him? With whom did He consult, and who gave Him understanding, and who taught Him in the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and informed Him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All nations are as nothing before Him. They are regarded by Him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him? Let's jump to verse 21 and 22. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits on the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Verses 25 and 26. To whom then will you liken Me, that I should be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, like the astronauts just did. See who has created these stars, the One who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. I'm going to read to you Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Continuing to speak about the greatness and the awesomeness of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And one more reading, something very poetic in Psalm 114. Just a few pages ahead, Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, like we spoke about before, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. The Red Sea we just spoke about. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back when the Israelites crossed the Jordan. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs when God was on Mount Sinai giving the Ten Commandments. What ailed you, O sea, that you fled, and Jordan, that you were driven back? You mountains, that you skip like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Tremble, you earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of water. Now, do you think that a God such as this can make a mistake?